This is Katie McCowan, and you are listening to the Best Day Ever podcast. Hello, and welcome to the Best Day Ever podcast. I'm Katie McCowan, and I am so glad that you are with us today. I'm excited to have on our show as a guest, Miss Brittany Ann. Hello, Brittany. How are you today?
Hi, I am wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm thrilled about what we're going to talk about. And so for those of you who are listening, I just feel like this is going to be such a highly practical episode, which I love. Practical is one of my favorite words. Before we get into it, let me introduce Brittany to you. Brittany Ann is an author, speaker, and owner of the popular website, equippinggodlywomen.com, where she challenges, encourages, and equips Christian women to be all in faith and family. I also love the words all in, some of my favorite words. Brittany's work has been featured on CBN, The Christian Post, Crosswalk, and more. She is married to an incredibly godly husband, and together they have three adorably energetic little ones, and she loves to help Christian women create a life-changing Bible reading routine they'll love, which is what we're going to talk about today, and which is what she talks about in depth in her latest book, Fall in Love with God's Word, Practical Strategies for Busy Women. So first of all, I think that when we all just heard busy women, we're like, okay, that's me. I have something to learn here, because I honestly haven't met too many women who aren't busy. And so, Brittany, let me start with this, because I'm reading that you have three little ones, and I know that you've written a book. So I'm going to guess that you're a busy woman. Would I be accurate in guessing that?
Oh, absolutely. I live by my to-do list each day. I do not function unless I write down all of the things so that I don't forget anything, because there's just always so many things that I need to cram into every single day.
Yes. And you're speaking my language. I always say this: if it's not on my calendar, I won't be there. Like whether I'm supposed to be there, whether I said I was going to be there, if I don't write it down, I will totally forget that I'm supposed to be there, and I won't be there. It'll be like it never happened. So I understand that so well. And here's what I want, as I'm reading your bio and I'm introducing you, I would say that busy and all in seem to be difficult to marry. Like when you're busy, and like you just described, you're living by your to-do list. To me, it can sometimes be really difficult to be all in anywhere, because it feels like I'm just running from one place to another. And so just before we really dive in to what we want to talk about today, which is falling in love with God's word and practical ways to do that, how have you found the place or any ideas that you can share about how we can be all in, even in the midst of busy?
Yeah, I don't think that busy and all in have to be mutually exclusive. The fact is we all have the same 24 hours in a day, and we all have a choice of how we are going to use them. So we can use them running around trying to do all of the different things. But I think somewhere along the way, I kind of got to a point where I said, you know what? I cannot physically do all of the things. When I get on Pinterest and Facebook and I see these moms who are doing crafts, and these moms who are having elaborate holiday parties, and these moms who are making all of the organic meals, I cannot be every single one of those moms. And I don't need to be every one of those moms. And God hasn't called me to be every one of those moms. But instead, for me, it really is a matter of, okay, what are my biggest priorities in life? What are the things that truly matter to me? And just starting there and saying, okay, my faith needs to be my number one priority. That's the kind of wife that I want to be. That's the kind of woman I want to be. That's the kind of mom I want to be. I want to be a woman who is in the word first and foremost. And then I also want to be a really great mom. And I also want to be a really great wife. And what does that look like for me? You know, what kind of mom am I? What kinds of things do I prioritize? And what kinds of things do I not prioritize? And I think it just starts with figuring out, okay, what does success look like for me? What does the good life look like for me? What kind of life has God called me to in this season? And that's a big thing that I talk about in my book, Fall in Love with God's Word, is that there's a season for everything. There may be a season where you are so busy with little ones. There may be a season when you are so busy volunteering at church, or a season where you are so busy with work. And that's okay. There's definitely a seasonality of life. But trying to figure out, okay, what are the things that matter the most to me? What are the things that I want to make sure that in my busy day, like I am busy doing these things. And then what are the things that we can say, okay, these things don't matter as much. I'm just going to not do them. For example, this year, when it was Halloween, I definitely, like the day before, was like, are we dressing up? Are we not dressing up? I am not one of those moms who spent 6 months like planning out everybody's Halloween costumes. It was definitely like the day before, what can I scrounge around in my closet and find? If we don't come up with anything, that's fine. I don't care, because that's not a priority to me. I am not a mom who cares a lot about what my costume looks like. I will throw something together, or I will wear, you know, normal day-to-day clothes, and that's fine. And I'm going to do the same thing with Christmas, and I'm going to do the same thing with Easter, and I'm going to do the same thing with Thanksgiving. You know, no matter what time of year it is, I'm not the mom who's going to spend 6 months in advance like planning these elaborate homemade costumes. That's not my priority. But I am the mom who's going to be in the Word every day, and I am the mom who's going to have these conversations with my kids, because I've decided that's where I want my busy to be. I want to be busy doing these things, not all of the things. And if you listening right now are like, I love planning Halloween costumes, I love doing the whole like Christmas decorations, like more power to you. But the point is, we all have different things that we excel at and different things that we love. So just giving yourself the freedom to say, you know, I don't have to be good at everything. I don't have to do everything, but I can decide for me and my family, this is the kind of mom I want to be. This is the kind of Christian woman I want to be. This is what I want to make sure my life revolves around. I want to make sure I have time for these things in my day. And if other things don't get done, that's fine. I am prioritizing these things.
Yes. Oh, so, so good. I love it. And what we're going to circle back to is where you started with faith is the number one priority. Like my faith and my personal relationship with Jesus is the number one priority. And we're about to dive into that more. But two things from what you just said is, number one, when we make these decisions about, I think the way you said it is, what do I want my busy to be? Because we're going to be busy, but we can choose our busy. I love that so much. It's not if I do it right, I won't be busy. It's just choosing our busyness. And what that does, and the way you said it so beautifully, is that my busy might not look the same as yours or someone else's. And so it eliminates the comparison factor. It eliminates the information that we receive from other people about what we quote unquote should be doing. We can eliminate that whole narrative of what am I supposed to be doing, because we're looking around at other people. And instead, we can make intentional decisions about how we are busy, what our busy is in each season, which is all going, when we do it in the right order, it's all going to come and start with the time that we're spending with God in His Word. That's where our that's the filter for our decisions about where we will be busy in this season, and what will be our yes and what will be our no, and where we will spend our time. And on that note, I remember years ago when my kids were younger than they are now. Oh, it was probably, I mean, they were at least 5 years younger than they are now. And I remember having a moment very similar to what we're talking about, where it was just that moment where I stopped to think about what I wanted the future to look like for my family, for my kids, what my goals, what I called success for my children. At the time, we were homeschooling, so you can imagine the busy in that season. And what it really came down to, kind of the bottom line, is that if I gave them God's word well, if I gave God's word to my children well, then no matter what else happened, I could rest knowing I gave them everything they needed. And that was truly my heart in that moment. Is there are a lot of things I want to give my kids. I want to, like I said, at the time we were homeschooling, I want to give them a good education. I want to give them nutritious food. I want to give them, patterns for life that will cause them to work hard and be their best at whatever they're doing. All of those wonderful things. But if I gave them all of that and I didn't give them God's word well, then how successful could they be? And would we, you know, how would I feel about their success in life if I didn't teach them to love God's word? And that being said, the best way to teach them to love God's word is for me to love God's word, which is where we want to land when we talk about this, even just being busy. And I think so often when we're busy is when we're like, I don't have time to read God's word. So Brittany, let's start there. What would you say to the woman who says, I want to read my Bible more, but I don't have the time?
First of all, I have been there constantly. It's a struggle. There's so many things. If you just look around at social media and your kids always need something and your husband always needs something and there's dishes and there's laundry, but it really just comes back to figuring out, okay, what is the most important thing that I want to do today? And I said earlier how I'm a to-do list person. Every night before I go to bed, I will make a to-do list for the next day. And I will write down, these are the things that I want to get done tomorrow. I don't schedule out every minute of every day, but I will write down, these are the things that have to get done, with plenty of room left over. So as I go about my day, anytime that I have a minute where I'm looking around like, what should I do next? Rather than reacting to what I see immediately in front of me, like, oh, the dishes need to be done because it's right in front of me. Or, oh, this toy mess needs to be cleaned up because it's right in front of me. I can go to this list and I can say, no, these are the most important things that I want to get done today. And that really helps me to prioritize. That way, if something doesn't get done, it's going to be the dishes. I don't care if the dishes sit for an extra day. I do like to have a clean house. It's really nice. But if something's going to not get done, I want it to be the dishes. I want it to be the laundry. I don't want it to be time in God's word. I don't want it to be time with my family. I don't want it to be the important things that are so easy to push off. So I was in a similar place several years ago where my kids were younger than they are now. And I just came to a point where I was like, you know what? I call myself a Christian. And how can I'm not putting any shame on anyone else, but for myself was at the point where I was like, how can I even call myself a Christian if I cannot even manage to spend 10 minutes in the Bible each day? I have time for Facebook. I have time for Pinterest. I have time for Instagram. I have time for TV. I have time for all of these other things. I have time to look in the mirror each morning and think about, man, if only I weighed a little bit less. I have time for things that do not matter. Somehow I always seem to find the time for these other things that really are not a great use of my time. I have time to get annoyed at my kids if they didn't pick up their toys. How do I have time for that? But I don't have the time for the Bible. So for me, I was like, you know what? I need to make this a priority. So where it started for me was I challenged myself in, I think it was August of 2017, where I sat down and I emailed my Equipping Godly Women community. And I said, okay, here's the deal. I am going to make this a priority and I am going to ask all of you to hold me accountable. And I sent out an email to everybody. And I said, I am committing 8 a.m. That is my time. It is after my oldest two are in school, so the house is quieter. It's before I started work for the day. So this would be a really good little bubble of time when I sit, I eat my breakfast, I read my Bible. This is what I'm committing to. And I asked everyone in my Equipping Godly Women community, choose a time. I do not care when it is, but pick a time, mark that time aside. If you had an appointment, you would find the time. If your kid called you and said, hey, I forgot something at school, or I'm at school and I forgot something at home, bring it in, you would find the time. If your washing machine broke and you needed to call a repairman, you would find the time.
Yes, I would.
A matter of you. I mean, if your dog came in and destroyed the living room, you would find the time. So it's not a matter really. It feels like we don't have the time. We do have the time. We're just not prioritizing it the way that we want to. Mm-hmm. So it's really a matter of stepping back and saying, okay, if I don't want to read my Bible, that's a completely different conversation and that's valid. But if I do want to read my Bible, we can find the time. Mm-hmm. Even if it's only 5 minutes a day, that's completely valid. I would much rather people start very small, right? Choose a goal that is so small, that is ridiculous, that you like, there's no way you cannot do this. If you say, I'm going to read one verse a day, literally start there.
Yes.
Because if you can read one verse a day, really getting your Bible open in the first place is the hardest part. So say, hey, at 8 a.m., I'm going to read one verse. By the time you open your Bible and read one verse, you're probably going to read more. But even if you say one verse, and then even if you are on a day where things are crazy and you're chaotic and you're running around and you're driving, you can literally open your phone and read one verse, like something that's so easy that you can keep no matter what. But that's what I started at that time was, okay, 8 a.m. And I sat down and I started doing it. And I remembered at that time, a few days later, I had errands to run. So I brought my Bible with me in the car. Like, I am all about grace, and there will be days when you miss, and that's fine. But I was like, I am not missing on day three. And I like sat in the grocery store parking lot, and I was like, I will sit and read my Bible every day until this becomes a habit. And if I mess up, I do not care. I will start again the next day. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. And it really helped to create a habit. Mm-hmm. But then another thing that I talk about in the book, like, yes, start with choosing a time. That is a fantastic place to start. Choose a time, choose an amount. I also have on my website, if you go to equippinggodlywomen.com/, oh, I don't even know what it is. Go to equippinggodlywomen.com. It'll pop up. I have a pop-up on my website, but I have a quiet time reading guide where it gives you a worksheet where you can go through and check out, like, okay, this is when I'm going to read my Bible. This is where I'm going to read my Bible. This is for how long I want to read my Bible. And just making those decisions in advance is incredibly helpful, because for me, what I found is before I had created this habit, I would always say, oh yeah, I'm gonna do that. I'll get around to it. I'll do it later. And I would never get around to it. So just choosing mm-hmm. that time, like, this is the time. And then when you create a plan and you try it out, what is going to happen for absolutely everybody is you will get in, however far you make it, there will be a day when you do not read your Bible. And at that choice, at that opportunity, that time, you have a choice to decide, okay, what do I do now? You can either tell yourself, I'm a failure, I missed a day, this is the end of the world, I can't do this, I can't commit to habits and routines, like, I'm not good at this. Or you could realize that those are all just Satan distracting you and trying to knock you off balance and say, you know what, I missed a day. What's mm-hmm. one day over the course of your entire life? Okay, that's mm-hmm. fine. So we just pick back up the next day. And mm-hmm. what I really encourage people to do in my book, Fall in Love with God's Word, is to realize you are not necessarily the problem. It's not that you are too lazy. It's not that you are a failure. You just need a better plan. So if you start with your plan of what you think it's going to be, mm-hmm. say, okay, maybe it's going to be 8 a.m. for 5 minutes at the kitchen table. Okay, great. If that's not working for you, rather than throwing the whole plan out the window, ask yourself, okay, what is it specifically that is not working about this plan? Mm-hmm. So for example, if I had said, I'm going to wake up at 5 a.m. every morning to read, I can tell you right now that would
right. Like, yeah, I think I said that once. I think I actually tried that once and it didn't work. No, not for me. It didn't.
No, that would not work for me at all. It's not going to happen. So rather than saying, oh, I'm a failure because I can't wake up at 5 a.m. Okay. So if 5 a.m. doesn't work, then just change that part of your plan. Are you better at 8 a.m.? Are you better at noon? Maybe it needs to be on your lunch hour. Are you better at 4 p.m. and you put the kids in front of Paw Patrol, or while the kids go up and do their homework, you have a couple of minutes to yourself? Or are you somebody who wants to read last thing at night when it's time for bed and you say, okay, this is how I wind down my day? Your time in God's Word does not have to be first thing in the morning. So if some part of it isn't working, then just tweak that part. Or if you say, okay, I'm going to sit at the kitchen table, but then you think, this isn't working because people are constantly coming in here and asking me for things and everybody's walking through all the time and everybody's needing things. Okay. So maybe the time works, but the place doesn't work. So how can we choose the place? Do you need to go lock yourself in your bedroom? Do you need to go lock yourself in the bathroom for 5 minutes? That's totally fine. Do you need to take a walk? There's so many different ways that reading God's Word can look like, and it's going to change depending on what season you're in. Mm-hmm. So the way that you get in God's Word when you have little ones is going to be different than the way you get in God's Word when your kids are in high school or when they're grown and gone or whatever season of life that you are in. It's okay for it to change. And this is something that I regularly do every time a new school year rolls around, or it's Christmas break or it's spring break or it's summertime. I know that what I was doing before probably isn't going to work if I had kids and now I don't, or, you know, whichever way. So I need to go back and say, okay, here is the plan I was doing. Do I think that's still going to work in the season? If not, what do I need to change? What do I think would work really well in the season? And anytime I find myself falling way off track more days than not, okay, we need to reevaluate the plan. What's going to work? Mm-hmm. And I've done it a lot of different ways. I have listened to an audio Bible in my car in a particularly busy season when I'm driving the kids to and from school. I will just listen to my Bible while I'm driving. Mm-hmm. If you have drive time, you have time to listen to the Bible. Not that you have to use it that way, but it's an opportunity. Or if you go to the gym and run on the treadmill, or if you are walking around the grocery store, or, you know, whatever it is, there's times you just have to figure out which is going mm-hmm. to be the time that's going to work best for you.
Mm-hmm. And it's so many wonderful, practical ways to get started and to continue. And I love how you addressed that, because I do think that we can fall into feeling like I'm the only one who misses a day, you know, and then all of a sudden we feel like a failure. And so you are not alone in that. And I love how you brought our attention to that. And I also love how when you began with a community, you began with a group of people. And so I would encourage you, as you're listening and as you're starting, I hope to make a plan for a time and a place and how often, and maybe you're going to go get that quiet time guide that Brittany mentioned on her website, equippinggodlywomen.com. But I would also encourage you to think of one or two other women that you can reach out to with maybe just a simple text message and say, hey, I want to get serious about this. Let's do it together. And you can have that accountability, because I love that that was such a part of how this started for you, Brittany. And just so many great practical things. And as we wrap up this conversation, I would love for you to share maybe just one or two practical tips for how women who are right now kind of, they're on the edge of their seat and they're saying, I can do this. I can do this. I can get in God's word, and I'm excited to begin a more consistent time of reading God's word. Share just one or two practical tips for how we can enjoy God's word more, not just come to it like out of a sense of obligation, I'm supposed to do this, or maybe even some people come out of a sense of guilt. Could you just share one or two practical tips for how we can enjoy God's word more?
Absolutely. And this is what it all came down to me when I was first trying to figure out, okay, how do I write a book to help women read God's word more? Because I know that this is something that we want to do and we're not doing it. And why are we not doing it? And it all came down to, you know, what if we loved God's word? What if we didn't see this as this obligation, this thing we had to do? But what if this was this time where we said, no, this is time for me, where I get to go aside and be with the God of the universe who loves me, who has so much wisdom for me, who has so much encouragement for me. Like, this is where I refuel. Like, God's word is amazing, and it gives me what I need for whatever I'm facing that day. So in terms of tips of how to get there, I would say the biggest thing is to read God's word more consistently, because it's hard to fall in love with something that you barely read and you barely interact with. Maybe you only hear a snippet secondhand at church. But if you're getting into God's word yourself, you can pray and you can ask God, you know, make your scriptures come alive to me, like speak to me through your word, because God absolutely speaks to us through his word. And you can ask and pray for that. I would encourage you to get a Bible study or devotional that will help you understand what you're reading. If you still feel like, I don't know how to read this, I don't know what it means. There are so many great apps out there and Bible studies that you can read as you read through God's word. And it will explain to you, like, this is what this means. And this is what this is about. And this is how the Old Testament connects to the New Testament. Here's all this information that you may not have realized is all in there. And here's what God is like. So getting some resources like that can be so helpful to help you understand it. Also, reading in community can be so helpful if you have a Bible study at your church. If you want to grab a couple girlfriends and say, hey, what if we read through the book of Matthew together? What if we read through Acts together? I love the book of Acts. And what if we read through this together and then talk about it each day, or however often we do this? I have a membership community where we do this every day, which is so fun, is to get in and we just read a few verses a day, but then everybody gets in and comments on, okay, here is what I think of this verse, or here's what I take from it. And it's so interesting to see how so many different women interact with the same verses in such different ways. And they all pull in their different experiences. And it just makes the Bible come to life in a way that it hasn't before. So I would say just get involved in whatever sense that you can. Read through it with other people, read through it with a devotional or a Bible study, and get in God's word. It's kind of like eating vegetables or exercising. The first couple of days you do it, it's not necessarily fun. You have to maybe discipline yourself. You know what? We're grownups. We can do that. We can discipline ourselves to say, I'm going to sit and I'm going to read this word as long as it takes me to get something out of it. But as somebody who has been trying to eat healthier and exercising more, those first few times were really tough. And now I actually really like broccoli and I actually really like going on long runs for multiple hours. It's fun to me. I enjoy doing it, but I had to train myself to get there. And we can do the same thing with God's word as well.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Brittany, that even reminds me about what you were talking about with the quiet time guide and changing it up some, like when you apply it to exercise. I know that there are some things when I exercise, I just don't like to exercise that way. But after trying some different things out, I kind of found a way that I do enjoy exercising more often. And so even some of the suggestions that you just made, whether it's a devotion or whether it's, you know, a certain Bible study, whether it's a, you know, guide that helps you understand what you're reading, that we can just stick with it and try out different things as we are learning about God's word and what works for us and how we are growing to enjoy God's word. I just appreciate so much all of these practical things. And I love your heart and your transparency to share how your journey began and how it was like, you know, I need to do this more. And what we get now is the benefit of seeing your years of walking with the Lord and coming to his word more and more often. And I personally can hear your love for God's word. And it reminds me of in the Psalms, you know, over and over and over, we read the psalmist say, talk about delighting in God's word, you know, and it's such a different approach to delight in God's word, delight in his commands. And that is something that has recently really convicted me that I don't want to just read God's word. I want to delight in his word. And one of my favorite things about that is that God's word doesn't change and God's word cannot be taken from us. It will remain, you know, heaven and earth will pass away, but God says, my words will not pass away. They will always be true. They will always be his word to us. And what a great thing to delight in. What a great thing to enjoy. You know, everything else changes. Everything else passes away. But if we delight in and love and enjoy God's word, that will not pass away. So I hope that you have found something that you will begin when you finish listening to this podcast episode. Brittany, thank you so much for being our guest today and for sharing such wisdom with us.
Well, thank you for having me. This has been fun.
Yes, it has. And I just pray as you have listened today that you have found something that you can apply so that today becomes one of your best days ever. Thanks for joining us.